What's up, wrestling fans? Welcome to a pay-per-view point edition of the Smark Out Moment Smack Talk podcast. This is episode number 298. We got a two-fold double main event for you coming up. We've got the NXT TakeOver 2017 Brooklyn 3, whatever, you know, extra things you want to add to it, predictions on this video, and then on another video that we're going to be doing up a little bit after that is going to be the SummerSlam 2017 predictions. So the person that's going to be helping me out with this on the panel, I'm, of course, you know, your host is always Tony Mango. You know my voice by now, but we've also got Callum Wiggins. What's up, Callum?
NXT. NXT. NXT.
Did you know that we are NXT? We specifically?
Yeah, I know. It's great, isn't it?
I've been told that by many people other than Bobby Roode.
Yeah, Triple H likes to tell us that a lot.
Yeah.
It's nice to feel wanted.
Yeah, we're in like a nice group mentality. It's a lot better than the people in Charlottesville. There's no torches.
Mm.
Although I carry a torch for certain people. Johnny Gargano is kind of good.
Yeah. I'm glad we got political early, just so we get out of the way.
Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't gotten a mailbag question yet about that. We've gotten about like 30 mailbag questions, I think, so far. And nothing about Charlottesville. So now that I brought it up, I'm sure somebody's going to end up tossing that out there for next week. But
I'll just point out I'm not going to answer it. Just not because it's not just my country, just because I don't want to piss anybody off.
I'll answer it real quick. Nazis suck. There you go.
Oh yeah, that's. I think I'm down with that.
The N in NXT does not stand for Nazi. So no. What does it stand for though?
I'm trying to think of something.
New like never... X-ray transistor.
I think it just means next, to be honest. They just misspelled it.
I hate that name so much. I've hated it since the start. When they announced that ECW was going to be NXT, I was just thinking to myself, like, really? We're going to go with, like, Gen X, you know, that kind of weird shit? Where it's like, oh, it's so extreme without the E. Start off with the X, you know. I don't know. I don't like that name. But it's so ingrained in WWE now, you can't really change it. You can't just call it something else. But either way, I mean, NXT's been doing a pretty decent job for a lot of different things. And we've got our card for NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. Now we know, actually, too, that we're going to get NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4 next year. Brooklyn's just, like, dominating this SummerSlam weekend. And
I mean, they went from Los Angeles to this now.
Yeah, that's true. Because they did like 3 years of LA or 4 years or so.
It was seven years, actually, I think.
7 years? Holy shit.
Yeah, it went from 2009. So maybe slightly less than that. But yeah, so it would have been 2009 to 2015, I think.
Jesus. Maybe we'll get a couple more of Brooklyn then.
Yeah, and then they'll change to, I don't know, Pittsburgh or something.
Change to Philly. Have fun.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Philly crowds are great. If you piss us off, we riot. If you make us happy, we riot. It's fun.
NXT TakeOver Charlottesville.
How great would that be if they had, like, they went to, like, Charlottesville and they had, like, the Ely brothers and the Street Profits and, like, just all the black talent and stuff.
Ember Moon.
Oh, my God. And, just to piss off those idiots over there. Oh, that would be so great. They'd have to hire extra security, but it would be so worth it.
Yeah.
And they win every match, too. And they're the baby faces. So it's like you're supposed to cheer for them.
They win it comfortably as well. Like, every single one is done in, like, a minute or two.
And then eventually they see Aleister Black and they're like, oh, this guy looks like he's one of us. And then they announce him as Aleister Black and they get pissed. Well, it's not happening at Brooklyn. Although Brooklyn could have a kind of fun crowd. I mean, we've seen Brooklyn before. They kind of treat this as like their WrestleMania for NXT. And the card itself, I don't know if I'd say it would be like the NXT WrestleMania.
This is like WrestleMania 11.
A little bit, yeah. It actually, the way that we've treated Brooklyn the past 2 years has been like the WrestleMania, and this year it feels like it's the SummerSlam.
Yeah, I'd go along with that.
Like, the matches are good. I'm not going to complain about them, but two of them seem like they're sort of random a little bit.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. It's definitely not the strongest card for an NXT show, but there's potential there. I think at least two of the matches have like a lot of will be particularly good. Whether they should be on a WrestleMania-esque card, I think, is open for debate.
I think all five of them have a lot of potential, so that's good. At least I have more confidence in that than I do in the SummerSlam card.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, that we're gonna be running down this SummerSlam card, and we're gonna be bitching and complaining a lot, I think. But
yeah, so enjoy this one while we're slightly more positive.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we're doing it first. First off, it comes first. It's Saturday and all that. Which, by the way, we're recording this at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, so we haven't seen that last episode of NXT, the Go Home Show, but. Spoilers for it, we know that like Andrade Cien Almas beats No Way Jose, and we know that we have a contract signing, and we have Lars Sullivan loses and beats up his tag team partner. Roderick Strong doesn't get into the title match, and Ruby Riott beats Billy Kay. There you go, that's what happens. So we're not missing anything as far as the card changing up, unless they make some kind of weird random announcements where they're like, hey, we decided at the last minute that we're going to also make this match a no DQ match or, you know, like something like that. But I doubt it. So if we do miss anything, then we missed it. Oh, well. But we're not going to wait until tomorrow to do it. So let's start talking about the matches that we do know for sure. At the very least, there's usually only five matches per card, so I don't think they're going to add anything else. But they do have two matches that are pretty random, I think. One of them is Hideo Itami versus Aleister Black, and the other one is Johnny Gargano versus Andrade Cien Almas. First thing first, Hideo Itami versus Aleister Black. Why not Cassius Ohno?
Versus
Hideo Itami.
They had that match on NXT already.
That's so weird, though, because it's like they set up this feud for weeks and weeks that they were like doing this stuff back and forth, and then Aleister Black happens to just be coming out for a match, kicks it with Tommy, and then they're like, you two, that's the match we're going for. And it's like, whoa,
well,
I
think they create this storyline as an idea of Itami doesn't get any respect. And so they had this section where he was being interviewed by one of the robotic NXT interview ladies.
Kayla Braxton, and I think.
They're all just nameless faces to me.
Christy St. Cloud is the new one that I can't remember if she's a blonde or a brunette, but I think she's a blonde.
So he was having an interview with one of them, and he essentially they cut him off and said, oh, we've got to go straight to the ring, Hideo. Sorry, we have to cut this interview short. And so he stormed down to the ring and said, what's the big deal? Why are you cutting away my interview time? Then Aleister Black comes out, kicks his head off, and then we have a match.
Just seems kind of strange to me. It's like this is something that I'm going to complain about when it comes to SummerSlam, but it's sort of like they set up a couple people feuding, and then a week or two before a pay-per-view, they're like, just kidding, we're going to go with these people instead. Like, there's really no substance to Black versus Itami, but I mean, the match itself, like, could be good, so.
I think this could be the show-stealing match. They both are very strong kickers, very quick strikes, they're both very technically sound in the ring, so I think out of all the matches, these two are the best, like, technically gifted wrestlers. The problem is he won't have any heat towards it, besides the fact that Black has been a bit of a revelation on NXT, in my opinion. I think the last two matches he had with Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly were two of the best matches on NXT TV in a while. He has an X factor about him. I thought they were good, at least.
Yeah, and I saw the way that Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly looked, and I was like, just generic indie guys, okay. And I figured if they were good enough, people would tell me to watch it, and
I mean, they're pretty generic, but in terms of like in ring ability, they are head and shoulders over a lot of people in WWE, let alone NXT. Hmm. But Aleister Black has a big aura about him. He definitely has a lot of star potential, and Hideo Itami's always been consistently good. in his performances, in terms of staying healthy, he's been anything but consistent. But I'm expecting a good match out of these two.
Yeah, I think at the very least, even like you said, if there's no like storylines to kind of get involved in or something, if you put these two out there, I'm expecting it to be at least a generically decent match, if not a good match. And it sort of depends on how much time they have and what their end game is or whatever. But I don't think this is going to be more than just sort of like Itami losing to Aleister Black and kind of bitching and complaining afterward. And it's like, I'm fine with that. You know, I'd also be okay with Hideo Itami winning. Because Aleister Black's got to lose at some point, and it'd be kind of interesting to see Hideo Itami sort of like, he goes from I get no respect to being like, I'm the guy who handed him his first loss. I fucking demand that respect, you know? Like, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I'd be happy with either winning. I think it's going to be Black, though, yeah, if I was to make a prediction. And I do agree with you that it is quite random, and there have been a lot of other feuds that seem to be more organically built up on NXT recently. You have, obviously, Itami versus Cassius Ohno, which have been built up. Danny Burch and Oni Lorcan, who are, I know are the two most like generic characters.
Oh, man. Oni Lorcan is so generic.
I know. But
I kind of like him, but at the same time, I'm like, he is textbook create a character template one. Like, yeah. He even just does the little point up in the sky, and his music's just like,
It's like well, Danny Burch is pretty much the same, except for the fact that he doesn't have a beard, so he's even more generic.
And but he has like an actual normal name instead of a weird name.
Mm. But they've had two like kick-ass matches on NXT that were just really, really good. And I'm almost disappointed that they're not going to be on TakeOver. I think they might be one of those ones which is like taped at TakeOver, but is shown on the next week NXT.
Yeah, the rubber match between the two goes on beforehand, and probably something with Ohno, because Ohno can't get on TakeOver cards, but he keeps getting taped beforehand.
Yeah. Although, and then probably something to do with the iconic duo and Ruby Riott or something.
I think they're coming up.
Oh, the iconic duo.
Yeah, I think that they're coming up definitely. After SummerSlam.
I'm so looking forward to them coming up. I think they're my favorite act in NXT at the moment. And I know some people find them annoying, but that's kind of the point. They're heels, so get over it. You're going to find them annoying because that's their character. And what I've heard is an idea that they're going to partner up with Emma.
Yeah, that I've seen that kind of floating around, and I don't know if I like it or I dislike it yet, because I think that Emma might kind of screw up the dynamic a little bit, but she's Australian too. So I can see the connection, and Emma kind of needs something else. She's not doing her own stuff well enough.
Although I think this could be
partially. I think that that's probably just like they don't want to just have Emma go out there and just be a decent wrestler. And I'd be fine with that because Emma's not a good character.
She doesn't have a character, really. No. A character is someone who just complains that she doesn't get opportunities.
Rather have the iconic duo on Raw and then Asuka go up to SmackDown than to have the reverse side of things. Because I think that there's a little bit of money, at the very least, in Bayley and Sasha Banks versus Peyton Royce and Billy Kay.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So I think that
we're going to do like a little roundup at the end of who we think is going to be going up, or we're just going to like pick them out as we go along.
Yeah, just as we're going along. I think that that's it, actually. I think it's going to be the iconic duo is coming up to Raw a couple weeks from now, and I think Asuka's coming up to SmackDown on Tuesday night.
Those are the only two you think?
Yep.
Well, three.
Yeah, three technically, but I don't think we're going to get anybody else. But if we are, then I think that that has to do with a little bit of the NXT Championship match. But okay. I also kind of think maybe No Way Jose's coming up. I don't know why. That's something that's just sort of popping up in my brain a bunch lately.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think usually when you start having less matches on NXT, it either means that they've got nothing for you or that you're coming up soon and they just want people to be surprised almost.
Mm-hmm.
And And he's a really good like opening match act.
I think he's part of the tag team too. Like they could pair him up with like
they paired him with Rich Swann beforehand.
Yeah, well. If Swann moved over from the Cruiserweights over to the main thing, like I liked that tag team. I'd actually be okay with No Way Jose working with Darren Young because Darren Young needs something. Or I don't know, something else.
How about putting with Dash Wilder while Scott Dawson's injured? That'd be the most odd couple tag team
ever.
That
would be kind of strange. Or he's the person that Goldust is going to be working with.
Oh, God, yeah, we've got to think about that as well.
Yeah, we'll get into that when it comes to SummerSlam. But there's a possibility that an NXT person might be in there. And if that's the case, I might as well mention this when we're talking about NXT. If that's the case, and I'll talk about this a little bit later too, maybe the Velveteen Dream.
Yeah, I was thinking that. But that seems rather quick.
Yeah. But we'll put a hush on that for now, and we'll talk about that on SummerSlam. But as far as Hideo Itami and Aleister Black, I think that we have another match that's sort of random, but I actually am more interested in, and that's Johnny Gargano versus Andrade Cien Almas. Something about this has me really intrigued. And I don't know if it's just because I'm sort of liking Almas better with... what are they calling her now? Zelina Vega, I think her name is.
Zelina Vega.
Hot name. I like that name.
Hot chick, hot girl.
Yeah. So. Sexy little bee. I like her playing this character.
She's really good.
Yeah.
She's obviously very attractive. I've seen her wrestle, so she's pretty good in the ring. And she can talk. She's really good promo. She's got really good promos.
Mm-hmm. She knows what she's doing. And she was one of those rare people that was in TNA that I was just like, damn, they're getting wasted. Bobby Roode was another. AJ Styles, of course, was another. And for some reason, she and Sarita, out of the two of them, even though Rosita was so tiny, I kept thinking to myself, like, she's the bigger star between the two of them. And she's kind of proven herself correct a little bit. Really now curious to see her as AJ Lee. That's going to be so freaking weird.
It's sort of interesting that they're both in WWE now, but only one of them's actually performing.
Yeah, and the other one's just doing coaching and stuff. But it's weird that they hire people that have never been in WWE to coach WWE people.
It's weird.
It's like, hey, you know how to wrestle that other style that we don't like. Teach them our style that you've never done. But I do like her paired up with Almas. I think that that's a really good pair because Almas on his own, he's missing something and she kind of fills that void a little bit.
Oh, yeah, he was utterly directionless except for the, like, late partying. Like, and so he's shit in the ring because he's too busy drinking and stuff like that.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, but that was all building up to this and now he's got, like, a clear direction and someone to guide him and make sure he can actually push for championships and opportunities. It's a good pairing. It was a good story. It was a good development. That's what NXT does properly that sometimes in the main roster they just don't manage to do.
Yeah, it's almost like they put in some effort.
It's like they only have like an hour show to work with, so they don't have to like tax themselves so much or come up with like placeholders to build up to a pay-per-view.
And then, of course, sometimes they just say, hey, Black, kick his head off.
Oh, yeah. But I think they're allowed that sometimes.
Yeah, once in a while. The other matches all have decent enough builds. So, But I think that actually a good philosophy behind this thing has been the idea that they are going to pair a fan favorite like Johnny Gargano against Almas because... if you want Almas to be a guy that you boo, Gargano is going to get cheered. So having him lose to Almas, who's going to be all cocky and Vega will probably like interfere in some fashion or whatever like that, that's a good way to get around doing that character. I'm liking it. I had big old thumbs up as far as that booking goes. Unless they have Gargano just beat him in like 10 seconds. So then it's like, well, what the fuck was this all about, you know?
I don't think it'll be 10 seconds, but I do think Gargano's going to win. Just because I think he's at a point where they're going to start building him up towards the inevitable feud with Tommaso Ciampa.
Man, that's going to be good.
Yeah, but they need to keep Gargano looking good until that point. And I know Almas has got this new direction, so he needs some support. He needs to get a few wins under his belt. But I think out of these two, he can suffer a loss and move on to something else and get a bit more involved in his character and show a bit more of the pairing between him and Vega. Whereas Gargano can start getting a win here and I think start moving towards the NXT championship.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, they could. You know, he's tiny enough that he could do like the cruiserweight stuff, but he can fight for the NXT title. There's nothing that says he can't.
I mean, when we did the Takeover Chicago review, we kind of seem to be in a certain level of agreement that Gargano vs. Ciampa should be the championship feud.
Mm-hmm.
It had a lot more heat to it than anything that Bobby Roode could really do. And if it is the most, it's the feud that gets the most interest, it should be the feud for the championship.
Yeah, we don't know the timetable of when Ciampa's going to be back, but I'm assuming not for at least another two takeovers. Houston is the next one. That's before Survivor Series, which at the very least, that would be the best time to do it if they could. But the Royal Rumble one or the WrestleMania one, if they can get Ciampa to be ready to come back at that point, I would love to see Gargano as the champion and Ciampa come in and beat him for it.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I think that's the way you got to do it, is to have Gargano beat some heel with the title, maybe Rude or somewhere down the line, and then you have Ciampa beat him up as soon as he's won it and then take the title from him.
Well, even though this kind of jumps to the NXT championship match, there's nothing that says we have to go with that one last. Let's go with the NXT women's title match last. I actually would rather see Gargano beat Rude than anybody else at this point. And I think that one of the reasons why, we were joking about it at the beginning of this, was the whole We Are NXT thing. Bobby Roode's been making it a point that he specifically always talks about, I am NXT, not We Are NXT and whatever. And when you have a guy like Drew McIntyre come out and do the whole, like, no, the crowd, it's whatever, I don't buy that Drew McIntyre is a crowd guy, you know?
No, not really. And also, he's only been back since WrestleMania
months.
Time.
3 months, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really a bit rich for him to come out and say, no, we are NXT, when you haven't been in NXT for a long time, so why are we with you?
Right, and I think that Roderick Strong proved that he's not really the guy that they could put that title on.
I disagree.
He's somebody that kind of put.
He should be. He needs to be NXT champion. Like, I would much rather he was facing Bobby Roode here for the title, and he beat him for the title.
That I agree with as far as like what should be the match, because it's the same sort of thing as Hideo Itami and Cassius Ohno. It was like we're building up this whole thing with Strong, and even though they did the match, it kind of felt to me like they would have done something where it would have been like, Rude would have like won that match, screwed him over, and then Strong would have earned his way back to get a title shot and whatever. And I actually had Strong before Bobby Rude won the title from Nakamura. My projection on the website was Bobby Rude beats Nakamura, Strong beats Rude. But when they did the feud already, and Rude kind of just like outclassed Strong in so many ways as far as like promos go, really made me think twice about Strong as champion. And I started thinking a little bit more about Gargano and how if they moved on from Strong and they moved on, they did the McIntyre stuff, I kind of could see them putting the belt on McIntyre, but I don't want it to happen. And I'd rather it be something where like McIntyre loses, Bobby Roode either cheats to win, cheats to retain through like DQ or something, or just flat out beats Drew McIntyre. He could. I mean, nothing says that heel can't win by clean methods. And I'd like to see them kind of build up this idea of Bobby Roode going like, I beat McIntyre, I beat Strong, I beat Nakamura. Like, there's nobody that can prove that they're NXT other than me. And kind of build up Johnny Gargano a little bit. Oh, he also beat Cassius Ohno too. So really, there's not many people left for Roode.
Yeah. And
if Gargano could beat Roode, it'd be that kind of like Daniel Bryan beating somebody bigger than him sort of thing. And then you can lead up to that Ciampa kind of thing. Because Gargano is an NXT guy. And he is like a crowd favorite. They know that he's popular. And you know, I'd like to see that kind of happen. I'd be more inclined to go with Gargano than anybody else, but if you told me Strong or McIntyre, I'd pick Strong. McIntyre is just not doing it for me.
I don't feel like McIntyre belongs in NXT. I think he's past that already. He came back and he said he wanted to be in NXT because the championship is prestigious and it's where everybody wants to be. He's been wrestling on the independent circuit. They all want to be in NXT. And I think that was meant to be like a big shot in the arm to NXT because obviously he could have probably gone to the main roster. Mm-hmm. He has the experience. He obviously has the pedigree. So he probably could have just bypassed it if he wanted to. That's like the way of thinking that they're trying to put onto this, onto his character. But he just doesn't fit for me. And his matches have been good. And I think he's himself is a very good promo, a very good character. I like his new move towards intensity. I don't like his new music compared to his old one.
God, his music is awful. That is so... What is up with NXT and ear-grating music?
I know.
Sanity theme, Peyton Royce's theme.
But it makes it even worse because like his original theme was one of my favorites of all time. The Broken Dreams is...
The other one, too. That generic production theme that was like... I forget the name of it, but they use it in a lot of like roller coaster commercials and stuff. He's had some good themes, and 3MB's theme wasn't bad either.
No.
So then they switch it over, and it's just like... You're like, oh, god damn it, somebody just stepped on a fucking bagpipe and...
Yeah, nothing says cool baby face like bagpipes being played.
At least with Rowdy Roddy Piper, it was kind of like sing-songy, you know?
Yeah, and he was a heel as well, so it doesn't matter if you hated it. It was part of the character. But, yeah, I don't want McIntyre to win this, which seems weird to say because I'm a big fan of Drew McIntyre. I just think he should be on the main roster. I think he could be of more use on the main roster with his character. With the same character that he has, he could do a lot more on either Raw or SmackDown.
Where would you rather have him be, Raw or SmackDown?
I don't know, because my usual instincts would be to say SmackDown. But I haven't been enjoying SmackDown recently because especially with their mid card, they're not handling that well at all. And that's where Drew McIntyre would find himself. 2 or 3 months
have been a mess.
Yeah, and that's where Drew McIntyre would find himself in the mid card. So maybe I think he can improve SmackDown. So I'd still say SmackDown. I think there's more room for him to stand out there. Like maybe enter a feud with Mike Kanellis or something along those lines. I don't think Raw needs him.
If they do the shake-up, then who fucking knows at that point?
Yeah, of course. But I can see Rude retaining here. I'd like to see Rude retain and then drop it to either Strong or Gargano. I think they're the two standout choices for your next champion. Depends on what you want to do with them going forward. I think if Strong wins the title, he should drop it back to Rude, which sounds a bit counterintuitive because I think a lot of people want to see Rude drop the title so he goes onto the main roster. Because obviously he's nearly 40 now.
Yeah, I want him on the main roster as soon as possible. Especially because I really, really want Jericho versus Rude.
That would be great.
There is the whole thing with Adam Cole, too. I don't know anything about Adam Cole. Same as I didn't know anything about Bobby Fish or Kyle O'Reilly because I just don't watch Ring of Honor and stuff. But a lot of people are making a big fuss over Adam Cole.
Yeah.
And if coming in, and if he potentially comes in as a babyface, he could be the guy that they're going to go with to take the belt off of Rude.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, first of all, it's not Adam Cole. It's pronounced Adam Cole, baby. That's his thing. That's his catchphrase.
I wonder if they're going to make him change his name.
They won't. They didn't do it for a lot of these. I mean, they didn't do it for Bobby Fish or Kyle O'Reilly, so they're not going to do it for Adam Cole.
It'll be like, Adam Evans or something like that.
Yeah, I could see him winning the NXT title very quickly. He's someone in the same mold as Seth Rollins, really. He's very good in the ring. I'm interested in what his finish is going to be. because his finisher in Ring of Honor, I believe, was essentially a Canadian destroyer.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to let him do that.
Yeah, so they might have to change that up quickly. Also, he uses the super kick a lot, but then again, he was tag team with the Young Bucks for quite a long time, so of course he uses the super kick all the time.
How much you want to bet they give him a DDT? Everybody uses the fucking DDT.
I mean, that's usually a starting point. I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that he gives him some sort of neckbreaker. Just to be a bit more flash.
A cross-face kind of submission, since half the people have that now, too.
Yeah, or they just give him the super kick.
Yes, either that. Yeah, so I'm going to go with Rude retaining here.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. And I believe if that is the case, then that's not main eventing.
Oh, no, I definitely don't think it's main eventing. I think the women's title match is.
And it should.
Now, I'm really confused about the tag title situation.
Yeah, this is a big area of contention for me.
I'm like, you wake me up on a Monday, I'm thinking Sanity's winning. You wake me up on a Tuesday, I'm waking up thinking that Authors of Pain are winning. I don't know what I would do. Like, this is tough because Sanity's not undefeated, so they can take the loss. But the Authors of Pain are heels just the same as Sanity. So if you switch the belt, it's kind of a lateral move. And you sort of screw AOP because then you switch the belt to heels just for the sake of it, and you took away an undefeated streak. But I'm kind of like, well, what do they do next? Because there aren't many tag teams right now. And Street Profits are one, which I spent like 2 years talking about how I don't understand how Angelo Dawkins isn't released yet. And in like three vignettes and one appearance of the Street Profits, I'm like, fucking give them the belts. Like, I don't know why. It's something.
No, they are really cool. And I've heard some people being like quite critical about them, that they're very like generic, but I think they caught my attention immediately.
Mm-hmm. And I love their theme.
Who were the people they faced in their first match? It was
the Metro Brothers.
Yeah. Don't they remind you of like the Mechanics?
They're like,
there was Dash and Dawson with it.
Versus Hood guys. It's like,
yeah. Well, it was like Dash and Dawson came in as the Mechanics. So maybe these are the two people that get this really stupid gimmick style with, and then they become the best tag team ever.
Yeah, maybe.
So keep an eye on those as well.
So, I mean, my gut reaction is to think that the Authors of Pain are going to retain, but then I can't also at the same time see Street Profits being the ones that beat the Authors of Pain. I can see them beating Sanity more. And then there's the issue of, well, do you bring up one of these tag teams? And if you do, I kind of think Sanity's ready to be brought up a little bit more. But well, if you take up the iconic duo and you take up Asuka and you take up Nikki Cross, you're really screwing that women's division. But then at the same time, you're doing the Mae Young Classic, so you can bring in the Mae Young Classic people in. And it's got me, like, I keep, like, second-guessing myself. And in the end, it ends up making me think Sanity will come up to the main roster maybe by Survivor Series, and the Authors of Pain will still be the champs at the time.
Yeah. I think out of these two, Sanity, like you say, is the most ready to go up. There's got to be something to do with the Breezango vignettes. I'm convinced it's Sanity.
It could be. I mean, they did kind of throw out the idea that they were just making it up every week.
Yeah, but that's, I think there must be some sort of purpose to it. I know that's me giving faith that WWE are actually giving something some forward and time to build up, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was Sanity.
Just because I wouldn't be surprised if it was Sanity, even if that wasn't the plan. If they just like, if they are just making this up week by week, and they were like, we'll figure it out, and then they realized, like, shit, we need to keep doing these like things with the Ascension and the Pies, because we can't figure out what we're doing. I wouldn't be shocked if it was like, oh man, now we can bring Sanity up because the takeover is done. Let's just say that that was the plan the whole time, you know? Like, I could see that being the case. More so than the Authors of Pain, too.
Yeah.
They're too serious, you know?
Yeah, they wouldn't be playing those sort of games with Breezango. They'd just attack them and beat them up and do it in public.
Mm-hmm.
But In terms of this match is weird. It's two heel teams. From what I've seen through the NXT tapings, they've actually made the Authors of Pain the baby faces, which I was shocked about, because let's face it, Sanity are the team that's going to get cheered in this match. People don't like
AOP, actually.
Oh yeah, I mean, I like the Authors of Pain, but I know a lot of people don't like them because they kind of, the NXT crowd sort of see them, from what I gathered in like their matches that they had with the Revival and their matches with DIY, is that they see them as like a third wheel, a team that's only there because they're big and strong. And so they take out the actual good wrestlers because of their size, which I think is really underrating their ability. They've gotten a lot better since their debut.
Mm-hmm.
They're really vicious. They have really like solid matches most of the time. Their matches with Heavy Machinery were good. Yeah, and Paul Ellering is a really good manager as well, and he's like a very good mouthpiece for them. So I think as a package, they're really good. And I'd like to see them hold the titles for a little bit longer. Whereas Sanity are good, but I've always been along the lines of, if you're going to have this big faction, this faction of a tag team, a main eventer, and a female superstar, you kind of have to have them hold all of the belts at some point to make it seem a little bit more interesting. I wanted, when Sanity originally started, them to hold all of the belts. And now they've been here for so long and they haven't really done much. No, I think it's a little bit past it now.
Yeah.
So I'd kind of say sink or swim on the main roster rather than just keep them in NXT with or without the tag team titles.
Yeah, like they already lost enough steam that I can't picture Eric Young being the next champion. And I can't picture Nikki Cross being the one that beats Asuka.
Well, I could. I'm a little disappointed that she's not the one facing Asuka. Just because, even though Ember Moon is the far superior wrestler, Nikki Cross is the better performer in my mind, and she has the better character. And that's usually what I go for. Yeah, and that's usually what I go for. So I could see her hold the NXT Women's Championship at some point. But, like you say, Young at this point has been in and out of NXT for a while, so I don't think he can hold the titles. And I think Killian Dane at this point is someone that could be useful on the main roster. Like you said, the tag team scene is a bit sparse on both Raw and SmackDown. So I think they could use either one of them. And Sanity have a bit more, like, you can be a bit more creative with them in the way that you present them. Whereas the Authors of Pain, when they come up, they have to start basically tearing through people.
Yeah, they need to just be unstoppable monsters.
Yeah, and if you're not prepared to
lose a little bit, Sanity could feud with the New Day. Mm. You know, they could do some kind of weird shtick.
Yeah, and if you're not ready to just have a team come through and tear up all the tag team division, and like stake a claim to being the top team in a division, then you can't bring up Authors of Pain yet.
And you know what? Actually, even just tossing out that idea, the New Day, I could see that being a major feud with them doing that whole the power of positivity versus Sanity.
Yeah, it'd be really good. Like, I could see Sanity coming up to initially feud with Breezango and then move on to the New Day once they've beaten Breezango.
Mm-hmm. Probably around, around the end of the year. I could see that happening.
Yeah, but I'll go with Wolves of Pain for this match.
I'm going AOP too. I think that if they didn't retain, I wouldn't be shocked. But I'm still leaning a little bit more towards them. And who knows? I mean, it's Wednesday. Maybe by the end of this episode tonight, I'll be like, oh, clearly Sanity's winning. Like, you know, it could be something weird.
I forgot to ask, what happens if I ask you on a Friday?
Heavy Machinery wins.
Okay.
So what I'm assuming is going to be a main event, and I think we're going to get a title change here. I think Ember Moon's beating Asuka.
It's so disappointing, but yeah, I agree with you. I'm people like Ember Moon. I like Ember Moon. Ember Moon is very good in the ring. She's very athletic. She looks like a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
But Asuka's special. Asuka has a big aura about her. She's She's obviously got this huge winning streak. She's very charismatic. They've tried turning her heel multiple times and the crowd still love her. She's the female equivalent of Goldberg.
Well, she's surpassed Goldberg at this point.
Oh, yeah, in terms of Winchy, but in terms of, like, just as a like an unstoppable monster that doesn't look like, you know, like someone like Nia Jax or something along those lines, like a really, like, behemoth. More along the lines of just someone who can beat anybody in any situation just because they're better in the ring. And I think she loses that if she loses to Ember Moon. She doesn't lose all of it. She'll still do great when she's called up to the main roster. And I do agree with you that she's getting called up. But I think she should go to the main roster undefeated. She should do that. I could think that with her character and with her charisma and her in-ring ability and being matched up with fresh new opponents on the main roster, you could keep her undefeated for another year and a half. You keep her undefeated until not next year's WrestleMania, but the WrestleMania afterwards. And by that point, you probably would have turned a heel because people would have started thinking, oh, God, now we need Asuka to lose. Like, we can't keep seeing the same person over and over again. And then at that point, you'll be desperate to see someone win the title. And at this point, I don't think people are desperate for Ember Moon to win the title.
I don't think that she's got a ton of heat behind her.
No, I don't think people really care about her. I mean, she's very good. She's still, and I know developmental was the period where you're supposed to go from being very good to great. And she's definitely on that trajectory. But she's coming up against somebody who's on a level, not just like one level above her, but about five or six levels above her.
Yeah, Asuka's a main roster champion.
Yeah, already.
Right now.
Yeah, she could, like, debut at SummerSlam or SmackDown.
And I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, she could beat anybody on either roster, claim the championship on her first night, and I wouldn't bat an eyelid. She's and you can't do that. You can't say that with a lot of superstars from NXT. She's one of the few that could go up first night and win the title. I think someone like Kevin Owens would probably be the most similar comparison that I could have seen him go straight from NXT to the main roster and win a title.
Or Samoa Joe.
Oh yeah, Samoa Joe as well. She's one of the rare breed.
Yeah.
She's definitely the first, like, I mean, I'd say the first thing I thought, but obviously Paige won the title on her first night. But she's definitely better. She has a better character than Paige did when she first won the title.
Probably a better character backstage, too.
You'd like to think so.
At the very least, I mean, she doesn't have much competition when it comes to that.
Yeah, and also she doesn't speak English, which in Paige's case is a disappointing thing.
Yeah, I think that there's a possibility that maybe Asuka comes up undefeated, but I think that they'll go with the option of Ember Moon beating her, and then either Asuka comes up on like Monday or Tuesday night, or SummerSlam itself, or I actually wouldn't be too shocked if they waited. I could see a scenario where Ember Moon beats Asuka, and we don't see Asuka at all for a couple of months, and they just sort of like make us sort of forget about her. Maybe
that could be good.
Down the line, Carmella cashes in on Naomi, and then Carmella's kind of acting all tough, and she's like, you know, I'll put an open challenge out to anybody, and then Asuka beats the floor with her. Not beats the floor with her.
Yeah.
Picks her up and slams her on the floor like fucking Hulk and Loki.
Yeah, goddamn it, Floor. You're so... I'll beat you over the head with this wrestler.
Floor isn't ready for Asuka.
I think that'd be a good way of preserving her heat if she does lose this, to just kind of put her under the radar, almost like she's been like training constantly ever since losing the title because she was so disappointed with herself for losing.
Right. And
then she disappears and then reemerges again. Oh, yeah. I think that's the. But obviously, this being WWE, I imagine she's going to lose the title to Ember Moon and then she's going to be up on the next night and she's going to cut a promo on somebody rather than beat them up. And then we're going to get a slow build towards her facing Tamina or something.
Knowing WWE, that's probably what they're going to do. They'll probably be like, we need to bring her up immediately and put her in a great feud against, Summer Rae.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going Ember Moon. Are you going Ember Moon or are you going Asuka?
Well, I want Asuka to win, but I know Ember Moon's going to win, so I'm going to say Ember Moon. So, I want to be right more than I want to like just hope.
Yeah. If you had to pick which of these five matches you think is going to be the best match of the night, which one are you going for?
Looking at them, they all have potential. I think it's going to be Asuka versus Moon. Just because they put it last for a reason, I think they're going to go all out for this match.
I'm thinking Gargano Almas.
It's definitely another good option.
But it could be Ember Moon and it could be Asuka. Those two could... They've had a good match before. And if this is the main event, then they could really tell them, like, hey, go out there and kick some ass, you know?
Yeah. Brooklyn is the traditional home of the awesome women's match.
Yeah, 2 years in a row, so let's try to make it a hat trick.
Yeah.
And if not, then I blame... I blame Drew McIntyre. He is NXT.
Yeah.
So...
Fuck you, McIntyre. How dare you be NXT?
Alrighty, everybody. Let us know what you think is going to be happening at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3 in the comments section below on the YouTube page. If you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, head on over to either the YouTube page itself or on the page on smartcountmoment.com and fill us in on your predictions there. We are going to just pick up where we left off and start talking about SummerSlam in another video, but you're going to have to click on that one to see it because we're not going to do that all in the same video here on YouTube and stuff. But we will see you then, so make sure that you check that out. And if you're not checking that out, then, hey, the hell with you. Why not? It's another video, and it's more predictions. You should enjoy it. You like wrestling, right? So that's it for now, though, and we will see you in that part. So this has been another Smart Out Moment, and we're being counted out.